We are gathered together as people of faith to remember what we're amazed about. But that's the question this morning in our lesson. Are you amazed? Now, some of us have been amazed by the politics that go on in our country. Okay? Did they really do that? Did they really say that? Do they really want to tell somebody about that? You know, do your amazement come from all kinds of things? I'll give you an example, you know, that amazed me. I went to the lectureship up in Lafayette at the church, and the evidences of creation and the truths that are suppressed by people that don't want to walk by faith. Amazed that there's evidences that man and dinosaur walked together on the earth at the same time. Those people that don't believe in the amazement of the gospel and of God and of Jesus believe that dinosaurs walked many years ago and then man came along. But there's physical evidence, and it was presented by Brother Don Patton this week up at Lafayette. It was amazing. But the question this morning is, are you amazed that you got out of bed this morning, Brother Bob? You know? Are you amazed that after all these years you still look that good in the mirror? I would like to have Bob's mirror in my house, so can somebody grab that? I'm just jesting. Folks, we, you know, with the technology that we have and the Hollywood spectacular things they can do in the minds of the writers of the movies and the shows that we watch, sometimes it's tough in our lives to be amazed. And things are just a routine. But folks, when it comes to our walk with God, and when it comes to His holy word and His power working in our lives, we should each and every day of our lives still be amazed. And that's why the lesson's titled this morning, Are You Amazed? Or are you like Paul McCartney in his song that he wrote, Maybe I'm Amazed. Maybe. Maybe I believe in Jesus. Maybe God is taking care of me. Maybe I'm saved. Maybe I'm amazed at the way you love me all the time. Maybe, you know, just maybe I'm loved. Satan wants us to say maybe every time we think of God. Maybe I'm afraid of the way I love you. Maybe I'm amazed at the way you pulled me out of time. Hung me on a line. Maybe I'm amazed at the way I really need you. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But you know, maybe. Maybe I'll make it to worship service. Maybe I'll read my Bible. Are you amazed? Are you compelled by the love of Christ to walk in your faith each and every day? And we look at our passage, our first passage this morning from God's holy word. You know, the simple word, Jesus says, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And he went up to the boat with them and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. For they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hard. Folks, are you amazed? Guess why we are not amazed in our lives by Jesus and his holy word? Because their heart was hardened. When our hearts are hardened and Satan hardens our hearts, whether we're mad at somebody or something or ourselves, our hearts are hardened. And that's a good tell time for us, folks, to look to Jesus and listen to him to tell us, be of good cheer, do not be afraid. Folks, There's a lot of us here today that are afraid of the country and where it's going. Jesus says, be of good cheer. Do not be afraid. He also says, I've got a home prepared for you, and this place is not your home. How many of us talk about a home in heaven on a daily basis in our lives? How amazed are you with the promise of living for eternity? Or do we talk about our home being the sticks and the brick and the mortar? What's more important, physical home, spiritual home? Jesus says, be of good cheer. It is, I do not be afraid. And then they went in the boat, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves, beyond measure and marvel. Does Jesus still create amazement in your life? Our next passage this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 22 through 30. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the Son of David? Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds a strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. And all the multitudes were amazed. Are you amazed? What did Jesus do? He healed. Folks, we talked about a Bible class last Sunday morning. I got another lesson, and it was going to be the lesson for this morning, but the amazement came through in my heart and from God's holy word this week. But raised from the dead. Raised from the dead, folks. Back to evidences and back to the truth. And are you amazed that Jesus was raised from the dead, that he raised people from the dead, and that those people that came after him for to prove that he was who he said he was, raised people from the dead? As we talked about in Bible class, of all the millions of scientists and physicians and great people that we have in this world, they cannot raise somebody from the dead. Now, Hollywood says they can. All the police shows on TV, no, they're all dead. We got to find out how it happened. Those things amaze us when we go to watch them. But are we still amazed on Sunday morning that Jesus Christ rose from the dead to save us from our sins? Are we amazed that we can be forgiven of all the atrocities that we think that we have done and that we will do? Because yes, we need that blood to cleanse us from our sins. Are we amazed at how precious it was? You know what I'm amazed about too and reminded about? Is heaven is going to be beyond what we can imagine. You want to put the best Hollywood movie you ever seen, and your wedding day, and your first child's birth together, and all the great things in life that we treasure, and multiply it a million times, and it's not going to be like being with Jesus and being in heaven. It just can't compare. And Jesus left that place to come down here to say, I love you. Here's what Jesus and God, here's what my Father's all about. Follow me. He didn't come down here to say, you guys make me so mad, I'm going to wipe the earth out again. He didn't come down here to say the things that people in our lives say. He came down here to express what God is truly like. He didn't come down here to express what the Pharisees thought and traditions of men. He came down here and amazed every single person he came in contact with, whether they followed him and believed him or not. Let's not forget how amazing Jesus is in our lives. Our next passage out of the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 21 through 28 reads, "Then they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.' And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee." They were amazed because Jesus could heal people of the most worst atrocities in the world, which was demon possession. Folks, we think today, you know what? Our medical science has made leaps and bounds in the last 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. You know, 100 years ago, they still were bloodletting. Or more, maybe I'm getting too old. Maybe that's 150 years ago. But folks, they still can't do what Jesus did. It's not possible, because he's the Son of God. Now, it's amazing sometimes when you feel sick and terrible and you take a pill. And you're amazed that in 4 hours, a couple hours, you feel better. Sometimes we're so sick and we don't feel so good that it takes a lot longer time for us to feel better. And we continue to take the advice of the doctors and take that medicine. Or treatments, whatever they might be. Jesus is amazing that he has the power to change our hearts immediately. To heal our hearts. Even though he healed people of physical ailments, his main mission was to heal people's hearts when he was here. And folks, when you have a broken heart in your life, I know we're supposed to have that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. But folks, there's times this week in my life when I needed Jesus to say, "Be of good cheer." I needed to be amazed that I'm saved by grace. I needed to be reminded this is not my home. Now, I like them times when I'm on top of the world. But I also like them times when I know I can reach out to Jesus and their holy words, "Be quiet, come out of him." And they were all amazed. Jesus has the power to heal our hearts and to guide us and direct us when we're having troubles, when Satan is tempting us, when Satan has control over us. Our next passage this morning in our lesson is out of Mark chapter 16. "But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you in Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Isn't it funny? The angel of God at Jesus' tomb says, "Go tell him. Go tell the disciples and Peter." And they were amazed. And they were trembling. And they believed. And they said nothing. Because they were afraid. Folks, does that happen in our lives? When we're amazed, when a realization and God's Holy Spirit's working in our lives and we're uplifted and we know I'm doing the right thing and I'm living the righteous thing and I made a right decision, I'm making good choices. And I'm amazed and I tremble, but I said nothing to anyone because I was afraid. Just about the time God says, reach out to that person. Tell them you love them. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them how amazed you are that there's a plan to live for eternity. We say nothing because we are afraid. Let's not be like those folks that God wrote in the Holy Word and give us an opportunity to recognize. 2, 3 verses, 6, 7, and 8, folks. Our resurrected Savior, he's not here. He did what he said he was going to do. He's where he says he is. He told you. Folks, it's the same thing when we open God's Word. It's the same exact Holy Word, the same great Jesus, the same great God that created us and saved us. But maybe you're amazed this morning. I plead with you not to be maybe amazed, but to be truly amazed with how great they are. Our last passage this morning comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 50. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they had returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he had spoke to them. Jesus' parents were amazed to see their 12-year-old son sitting and reasoning with the best scholars of the day. We're amazed, folks. Matter of fact, I just heard in the last week that Purdue is going to start a Purdue High School in Indianapolis for all those people that aren't challenged enough in the public schools. Purdue High School for all those people that are smart, that are 12, 13, 14 years old and want to study college stuff. The smart kids in our world, as we would say. I pray that those kids follow Jesus because they can help the world abundantly with their knowledge and their gifts they've been given. But Jesus is 12 years old and he's sitting with the scholars of the day and asking questions and giving them answers that only the Son of God could do. And his parents were amazed. It's just amazing. Now, if it was my child that was gone, okay, I don't think I'd have been as nice as his mom and said, "Hey, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." Bob, you ever talked like that to your kids? "Gee whiz, just explain it to me. I don't know why you did that. Where you been, mister? We wasted 2 days' journey and we've been wasted 3 days looking for you." Maybe that's why God picked Mary. "Hey, Jesus, where you been? We've been concerned about you. We're amazed that you're here. We're thankful you're safe and sound." But folks, it's the same Jesus that we need to be amazed with in our lives. Whether he's a baby being born, whether he's 12 years old in a temple reasoning, whether it was when he turned 30 and he started preaching and teaching, or when it was on the cross and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But Jesus' question resounds to us this morning. Why do you seek me? Why do you seek me? I'm about my Father's business, to seek and save that which is lost. I'm really not about politics. I'm really not about money. I'm not really about glory. I'm about my Father's business. And you know, to a lot of folks in this world, that's not amazing to people. Maybe they're amazed with the stories. Maybe they're amazed with people doing good and the influences Jesus has on our lives. But we should be about the Father's business like Jesus and be making people amazed that he's changed our life. Years ago, I had somebody that I hung out with and grew up. I became a Christian when I was 26 years old. I think 25, 26. I'm double that almost now. So I am over double that now. See, without a calculator, I can figure that out. But one of the guys I used to hang out with on Sunday mornings, I'd mimic and mock and make fun of the TV evangelists, and I was a pretty good comedian about that. We had some good times laughing. And he told me, "I can't believe that you've followed Jesus." He believes me now, 30-some years later. But folks, he's the only one that has the power to amaze us in our lives, to cleanse us from our sins, to heal our broken hearts, to give us hope and joy that promises us life forever. We don't get that from anything else. Money, prestige, power, friends. I love my wife. I got a beautiful, precious wife I've allowed to have in this walk. She can only help and encourage me along my way. It's up to me to be amazed. Now, I'm amazed that she puts up with me sometimes. Okay? What are you amening that for, Brother Bob? But folks, we talked a couple passages back about division. It's a tragedy when somebody in a marriage quits being amazed with Jesus and is amazed with the world. It's a struggle. You young people that haven't got a mate yet, make sure you pick somebody that following Jesus and is amazed with Jesus. I'm telling you, there's enough hardships in life without doing it alone in your faith. In your faith. And in closing this morning, to remember, are you amazed? Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about Jesus because their heart was hardened. Folks, let's make sure that our hearts are open. I have to say that multiple times a week. God, and it's a struggle for me to say, God, come into my heart. Let your Holy Spirit work with me. Your will be done, not mine. How many of us plead with our kids to say that to us? Sure thing, Dad. Sure thing, Mom. God does the same thing with us. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the Son of David? Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Are you amazed that Jesus can work in people's lives and change people's lives? Are you sharing Jesus with them? Are you with Jesus? Are we with Jesus in his mission to help those that are lost? And Jesus said, be quiet, come out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? Folks, just like Jesus said to that demon, be quiet, come out of him. There's times we got to say, Satan, be quiet and get behind me. And to be amazed to say, this is the way, the life, and the truth. Jesus is the way, the life, and the truth. Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Tell somebody about Jesus this week. Let your amazement and the power of the Holy Spirit work in your life. I'm not saying you have to go up and beat everybody over the head and say, you're going to hell if you don't study the Bible with me. Tell somebody to praise God. Thank God in front of somebody. I do this because I'm following Jesus. You know, the funny thing about the story of the Good Samaritan folks is that the person that helped the stranger was not a child of God. It was a Samaritan that did the right thing. Let's not be like those people in that story, and children and people of God proclaiming to be amazed and walk by those people that are needing to be helped. In closing this morning, so when they saw him, they were amazed. And he said to them, why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Folks, Jesus' mom and dad were amazed with him when he was 12 years old. And I ask us this morning, are we amazed with him 2,000 some years later? That his power still works in our lives, the greatness of his blood that cleanses us from our sins, and his promises are true that we'll live forever with him as we follow him in this life. Are you still seeking him, and are you about his Father's business just as Jesus was as you're following him? We offer this morning an invitation to make your heart right with God wherever you're at. If you need the prayers of congregation, we offer that opportunity. If you have not put on Christ in baptism and follow Jesus in those waters to have your sins washed away and become a child of God, we offer that invitation this morning also as we stand and sing the selected hymn.